Ben Lawrence.
Paul Goody.
Hey, it's a callback.
How's it going, my friend?
Continuity between episodes. It's great.
Yes.
So, I am, as you can see, in a different configuration. I used to put my laptop on top of a suitcase that was here.
Oops.
Suitcase had to move so we could put up our Christmas tree. As you can tell, Christmas tree, not a lot happening with it yet, but soon. And other than that, pretty much same old, except that a lot has changed, Ben.
Has it?
Yes.
What's changed, Paul? All right, you tell the people what's changed while I see if I screwed up the stream.
Okay. Yeah, so my use of Midjourney has ceased. No more.
I didn't screw
AI
up.
AI art stuff.
What? That's a big that's a shift for you, Paul. What happened?
It's almost as much as when I, you know, stopped doing TikToks or quit Twitter or whatever.
All right, so let me guess if I can figure it out. You felt that it was taking up too much of your time.
Well, that was happening for sure, but that was not the reason. I had an intervention from my child who wanted to let me know that my rationalization for the use of the use of other people's stuff for training data, the fact that it was, you know, probably under fair use and stuff like that, should not diminish my care of or my care for the people who actually, you know, feel as though they are being taken advantage of. That just because I don't feel that way doesn't mean that there aren't a whole bunch of people who are very upset and feeling bad about it. And why do I think that just because it's okay for me that I am able to tell them not to feel bad, you know, denying their experience, blah, 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 blah. And of course, you know, by people, one of those people, you know, she's very upset at the way things are working, right? So I was put in a position where it was like, okay, how much do I care? Do I care more about using this program, which I find fun and, you know, entertaining and all that, than I do about the way that not just my kid, but other people too. There are other people out there that are being treated badly by people that use this tool, and I'm kind of aligning myself with them by continuing to pay and to use it and everything like that. I might have all the best intentions in the world, right? But I have some friends that feel as though they were disrespected and not given a fair shake. And the argument that I had against that for them was, well, you have to understand that not just you, but billions of people have had this happen. And so, you know, what? If you get compensated, then they all should get compensated? That's untenable. And so you should feel okay. You know, that's not the if I can be crass and dumb, that's not the branding of Paul Goody that I've got, the one who doesn't care about the other feelings of the feelings of other people. You know, I've got my own personal branding of I don't get social interaction and don't understand why people are sad all the time, but it's not the same thing as being a guy who hears someone saying, hey, the fact that you're supporting this makes me sad, and then goes, Well, I'm going to do it anyway because I like it.
You can... let me ask you this. Now, have you heard from any artist, either firsthand or anecdotally, any artist who knows that their art has been used to train AI and how they feel? Or is... Because the only pushback that I have experienced is not by artists, but by people who... And we talked about this last week, I think. People who are upset on behalf of the artists.
Yeah, and that was tough for me, right? Because, as you know, between the two of us, I know at least one person, and that was me, and I didn't care, right?
Right.
Because I liked using the thing.
Granted, that sample size is small.
Yeah. There are people out there. Do I know them personally? No.
But well, no, you didn't know. Out there... But like, I never read any stories or saw any quotes from anybody that said I saw that my art style is being used to train AI, and I'm upset.
Well, and it's not just art style too. See, this is the thing. This is where I get into, you know, kind of craziness. I'll say this: there is a thing that was written by the Texas Law Review, right? And the Texas Law Review said that they feel as though it's okay to train on AI on image. It's okay to train AI on images if, you know, if it's being trained, it's okay. Once you start exporting stuff, it becomes a problem. And that's kind of what I was holding on to for a really long time, right? Like, yeah, it's okay. It's fair use if you're training on them. However, then, I am going to read something from you, Ben. I've prepared a thing. This is from that article. And it's something that I had read, you know, back when I was using the AI art thing. And I didn't really think anything of it when I read it at the time, but I've gone back now, and this is it.
Before you start, I'm just going to read what Steven has written in the comments.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Let's quote laws coming out of Texas. How could that go wrong?
Machine learning systems generally don't want to copy copyrighted work for any copyright-related reason. Machine learning systems generally copy works not to get access to their creative expression, the part of work that the law protects, but to get access to the uncopyrightable parts of the work, the ideas, facts, and linguistic structure of the works. A self-driving car, for instance, doesn't care about the composition or lighting of your photograph, or indeed what you were likely actually intending to depict in your photo. It cares about the fact that there's a stop sign in it. All right? So, and I was using that as a way to talk about it. But if you listen to what it's saying, right? A self-driving car doesn't care about the composition or lighting or indeed what you were likely intending to depict. That is what art programs care about. The same thing where it says...
Guess I'm confused as to why they care what a self-driving car thinks about art.
Say it again.
You said a self-driving car doesn't care what you're
writing. Right, right. No. So the Texas Law Review, right, their opinion for fair learning is that you should be able to use images to train AI because the thing that copyrights images, the thing that is protected under image copyright, are things like creative expression, lighting, composition, things like that. And for most training with images that AI does, it doesn't care about the lighting, the composition, and so forth. Therefore, right. It should be protected under fair use and the copyright shouldn't come into it. When you're training AI art generation stuff, it cares very much about the composition and the lighting and the creative expression. That's what it's training it on.
Yeah.
In the same way, it says facial recognition software doesn't care about the composition choices, if any, when making a selfie. It just wants to know what you look like in a variety of lights, without a hat or a beard, and with different facial expressions. Search engines wants to know what's in your work so they can help people find it, not because they care about how you express yourself. So all of this to say, all of their whole point about how images should be able to be used in training AIs, one of the big things they talk about is that because you're not training them on creative expression. And that's exactly what is being used when you say, give me a picture of Darth Vader in the style of Mobius. You're going for that thing. Now, you can't copy... This is the thing. You can't copyright a style. It's been shown that. I don't think that there's any legal reason yet that any of this stuff is copyright violation.
Well, that's an interesting take because this is a Texas Law Review opinion. I'm assuming it's because of a lawsuit that was brought against it, or did they just proactively?
No. Texas Law Review is a magazine or a publication.
Just a journal
where lawyers talk about law stuff.
Right. And so it's that was just an opinion of a lawyer or group of lawyers.
This has no
binding and legal recourse.
Right. Their basic thing is, this is why we think it is okay that images under copyright or material under copyright could be used to train AIs. We think that it should fall under fair use. It's not something that should be thought of as being protected by copyright. The thing is that the foundation of a lot of what they're doing specifically talks about the reason that this shouldn't be under fair use is because you don't care about the artistic intent of the photographs.
Right.
And I'm saying for art stuff, they do care about it.
Because
that
it's
is what
because
they're training.
There's going to be a time when you can't like copyright or trademark an art style, but there's going to come a time where somebody starts selling AI generated art images that look a lot like Lisa Frank. You know,
people already are. In fact, that's a great example. Lisa Frank Cthulhu, right? And that's what it's called. It's Lisa Frank. That's the prompt. The prompt is just three words: Lisa Frank Cthulhu. And then it makes an image. People love it. It looks great. They sell it. Lisa Frank isn't getting any of that money. And some people think that she should. I want to make sure that I'm not conflating two different things, though. There's the training of the AI, right?
Yeah.
And that's what people are arguing about right now, because the fact is places like Midjourney and things like that are selling monthly subscriptions to, hey, use my AI tool. The AIs were trained on stuff, so the idea is, and there are people out there that have, you know, sorry, animals, that are saying that they were that their stuff was trained on it. And I realize that I have completely reversed what I was talking about. Because I used to say this isn't a big deal. I totally understand that. But the point that the people are making is, I'm not saying that people are making images that affect my copyright. I'm not saying that the images that they're outputting are my copywritten work. That's another argument to have another time. The people are saying, what I'm saying is, the data set that is being used to train Midjourney contained images that were my images. No one asked me if that could be done. Nobody compensated me for it. A company got a benefit from labor that I did drawing the image, and I was not consulted or compensated for it. And that's where the big argument is. Well, should you have been? Yeah. People who use the AI art thing say no. You know, would you? It's not using your image, it's just learning off of it, and that's what anybody does whenever they have an art class.
And my point was, so people might not care about this right now, except for like the creators and people who know about the space. But when real money starts changing hands, when people start the system starts getting abused, that's when people will start to care about the training, the images that are being used to train, whether or not those are compensated.
And honestly, I'm going to be 100% honest on this. I think the reason that they're going after images being used to train is because there's a direct link between those images and getting paid. like, there is, people are getting paid off of the work that was done there. Yeah. Again, the argument, that, and I understand it, there are like 5 billion images in a data set. You can't compensate people for that. Either you don't have it, or you have to do it another way. The way I'm looking at it now, the reason I'm not using it is because, to me, it's a gray area. I used to think that it was black and white. Now I think it's a gray area, and so I don't want to use it until I'm like feeling more comfortable with it. Interestingly enough, have you used the ChatGPT thing yet?
No, but McCandless has sent me links to it.
It's really interesting. And one of the things that you can do in it is you can say, "Hey, I'm going to be doing a D&D campaign, and I've got and you ask it questions about Dungeons and Dragons 5e, and it will answer them. It will say, in Dungeons and Dragons 5e, well, here's this thing. So the question becomes, it doesn't, you can ask it to, I've asked it to make a bibliography before, and it has. It's given me books based on, it. I said, write an essay about the fall of the Ottoman Empire and include a bibliography. It wrote an essay about the fall of the Ottoman Empire and then gave me like 5 different books.
Boy, that would have made school so much easier.
Yeah. But the thing is, how does that work if the AI has all the information from Dungeons and Dragons 5e in it? Is Wizards of the Coast going to let people just use the AI and access that? Or are we going to see a thing, and this is what I'm afraid of, you're going to have to start paying for the books that the AI can access. And then, to get specialized knowledge, you have to buy a subscription to
something. Yeah, I mean, that's probably where this is headed. I don't see different AIs for different things. There's going to be one centralized AI, and you subscribe to what kind of knowledge you want it to have.
Yeah. I don't know if it can be done that way. But I'm just, it really is a simple exercise. You think of the cool thing, and then you think about how it can be ruined. Again, I feel as though if the people who are saying, and I still feel this way, if the people who are saying that copyrighted material is not fair use for training, we're going to run into a situation where companies like Disney and Getty Images and all that are the only ones that can do training, because they're the only ones with copyright for a whole bunch of images.
Right.
There'll be like a
Steven says people are generating AI art of Disney characters to bait Disney into getting involved.
Yeah.
And suing OpenAI.
Yeah, and again, Midjourney would probably run into that. The main reason why I stopped, it was Betty's thing, but the thing that made it easier, I suppose, is that their content moderation, just of people talking to one another, was bad.
On Midjourney? Too many
users and not enough mods, and so there was a whole bunch of, like,
12-year-olds calling each other the N-word?
Well, things like that. Not exactly that, but, like people being, how do I say it? Like,
the worst version of themselves?
The worst version of themselves. Talking about politics in the Philosophy Channel, things like that. Yeah. I think the founder and the mods and the devs, they all have their hearts in the right place. They all want to just make the nice things that have the people, able to do the fun images. But then you've got users who are like, I brought this up on another chat board.
Users destroy everything.
You've got users who want to copyright the images that the AI produces, so that other members of the service can't use them. The reason this is important is because when you join the service, you agree to a set of rules, and one of the rules is that any images that you create in the public forums can be used and remixed by the people there. So if I make, for instance, Lisa Frank Cthulhu, then you, Ben Lawrence, can go in and get Lisa Frank Cthulhu, type that in, and use that prompt yourself. And you can take one of my images that I made and remix it so that you make another image out off of it. You're free to do all that stuff. And there are a whole bunch of users who don't like that, who are like, I came up with Lisa Frank Cthulhu, you can't use it.
Right.
Three letters. Imagine, if you will, Ben.
Three little words.
When Twitter started, right? If somebody said, hey, I made the joke about how I only have this many characters, and then I pause right in the middle because I've run out of characters, and it's funny because I didn't have enough characters. Everybody makes that joke, right? There are a couple of jokes that everybody makes as soon as they get on Twitter for the first time. The same way, you can't copyright three words. You just can't. Now, there's even a question about whether or not you could copyright the specific image that comes out of that prompt, right? You make a prompt. Is that really your image? Can you copyright that? It's a good question, and people don't have the answer yet. So one of the other things I would say is that now that I've stopped doing this and I'm just drawing freehand, drawing's hard, Ben.
Yeah, when you don't have a powerful computer to help you.
I mean, it doesn't look as good. It takes a long time.
I gotta put a lot of effort. I can't just tell my pen what to draw.
Exactly. Ugh. I made probably, when I was on Midjourney, I probably made about 36,000 images. 36,000 images. That's a lot. More than I would ever draw in a lifetime. And those are still up there. This is the other thing, is that what people don't get, and I get, I understand, when I was subscribed to Midjourney, I was training their AIs by what I was prompting and what I was clicking yes and no, I like this, I don't like this, all that. You're training it. Eventually, it's not going to need people at all. It's just going to make stuff. And then we're going to like it. And it'll be fine. It'll be great.
Are we, though?
Are we going to like it?
Or will we know?
Yeah, I think... Here's the thing. The only reason I'm not using Midjourney anymore is because of the moral ambiguity of it.
Brought to your attention by your child.
Yeah. And I mean, other people... Here's the thing. Other people told me the same thing. I was able to discount them, and I was able to be like, whatever. Kick rocks. I don't care. But when she said it, I was like, okay, let me think about this from her perspective. She's the young generation of people who care about people. I'm the old bitter guy who is a misanthrope. This is one, and I had this
Gen X, like, represent.
This is one of those moments where the young kid is telling the old guy, hey, your values are wrong. And if I've learned anything from history, it's when the young kid tells the old guy your values are wrong, the old guy who hangs on to his values is not usually right.
Right.
It's usually a problem. So, all of that to say, just drawing stuff freehand now. And it's fine.
Going back to this, when you asked... ChatGPT to create an essay on the Ottoman Empire? Is that what you said?
Yep.
And it had, and with a bibliography. Well, I just assumed it was a bibliography that was actual books. You know,
it was.
You could check out from the library. Stevens commented, "It's important to know that OpenAI, which is
they're the ones who make the ChatGPT.
Okay, so
The other thing that you've probably heard of, DALL-E,
OpenAI, it's important to know that OpenAI will reproduce something that looks like a bibliography but is entirely made up. But you're telling me that the bibliography in your report were actual books.
And let me just say that I could have been hoodwinked.
Did you assume they were actual books?
They had names and dates and everything, Ben.
I would be interested in, like, if you can go back to that report and like see if you can look up one of those books. Because that would be a very important point. Let's say if some kid wanted to use OpenAI to create his report on the Ottoman Empire for his 12th grade senior project, and the bibliography is completely fabricated.
So let's see, Ottoman. I'm just reproducing it. Empire. And should I say along with the bibliography and cite your sources? Which you think
just
is better?
whatever you said previously that created the bibliography.
Yeah, and include a bibliography.
McCandless has put money on this. He says $5 says they're not books.
I'm really excited, McCandless.
Which I've got my browser open. Read me one of the books and I'll look it up and see if it's an actual thing.
Speaking of Turkey, really, Turkish Empire, Hot Skull on Netflix.
Hot Skull.
Yep, it's a Turkish science fiction dystopia.
Yeah, maybe now that we've been talking about it, the AI was going to use actual sources because it knows that we're challenging it.
Okay. The outbreak of World War I, when the Ottoman Empire allied with the Central Powers, Germany, Austria, Hungary, against the Allied Powers, the fall of the Ottoman Empire also, was a significant event.
Is it not also just pulling up a report or an essay that was used to train the AI?
Ben!
What?
I'm going to show this to you and to Steven.
All right.
Do you see the new thing that didn't happen last time that happened this time?
I can't really read it. What is it? History. What does it say? I can't. It's hard to read on this.
It gave me URLs to its sources.
Not actual books.
No. It gave me, Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy, Ottoman Empire. History.com, Ottoman Empire. Encyclopedia Britannica, Ottoman Empire.
The Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy is an actual publication.
And if we go to plato.stanford.edu, entries Ottoman Empire, if you click on that link, it says document not found. So that one, don't know. History.com, Ottoman Empire. Oh, this one worked. This link worked.
History.com, it leads me to a Pawn Stars page.
Oh, really?
The History Channel.
But yeah, History.com, if you click on the link, it takes you right to the Ottoman Empire entry. And then finally, Encyclopedia Britannica, Ottoman Empire. Go straight
to
it.
I don't need to Google that,
So, it used those three sources.
Like, it's not citing books, it's citing web resources, which, of course.
But the last time it did put in books. So, let's see. I do want to tell you something, though, that is really wonderful, Ben.
Really wonderful, Ben.
Hey, that's what it is. It's you, Ben. Look in the mirror. There you are, pal.
Artists fed up with AI image generators use Mickey Mouse to goad copyright lawsuits.
Is that something that Steven sent?
Says the Daily Dot. No, it's a link that Steven sent me.
Okay, so I'm going to read you just a couple of fun things. Is the Goody Lawrence podcast simply AI Watch? I don't think so, but we do talk about it a lot.
I think maybe after today it will become less and less so because you're no longer using it.
Yeah. So, except for this GPT. So I said, give me a few 5-word slogans that offer hope while still acknowledging the disenfranchisement of the poor as their ability to access new technology wanes, rank them on how radical they are.
This is what you're asking it.
This is what I asked it, yeah. Technology for the marginalized masses? Moderate. Closing the digital divide together? Moderate. Equal access to technology for all? I'll note a couple of these are six words. Moderate. Technology for social and economic justice? Moderate to radical. And overthrowing the tech elite together? Radical. And then this is the fun part. I said, did I not have it? Oh, it doesn't look like I saved it. Yeah, no, I said, give me five controversial slogans. Doing the same thing, it said, I won't do anything that is controversial or hateful. But here are some positive things that you can do, which I thought was nice. This is the best. And I thought about this for a good 5 minutes after I prompted it and put this in.
That is a long time to think.
Tell me
something.
A joke that involves risk management suitable for an office environment.
Wait, you got a speech coming up at work?
That was a use case that I was thinking of. It says, here's a joke about risk management. Get ready, Ben. The AI's joke about risk management. Here we go.
I'm so ready.
Why was the risk management team always calm?
Why was the risk management team always calm?
Because they had a plan for every eventuality.
I mean, it's not funny, but I guess it's true.
Isn't it the perfect computer trying to make a joke for a human being?
Yeah, I mean, it's like Data from the Next Generation attempting humor in Star Wars and Star Trek. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so it can't do humor yet. We're safe, Ben.
Thank
Wait,
God.
Wait, are we though?
I mean, when yeah. Well, I mean, we could barely do humor too, but like if AI starts doing weird performance art, then we're in trouble.
Also, then I said, make a joke about Dio Brando. And if you don't know who Dio Brando is, just stay tuned. I'm sorry, but I am not familiar with any jokes involving Dio Brando. Dio Brando is a fictional character from the manga and anime series JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and I do not have access to any jokes or other humorous content related to him. Is there anything else I can help you with?
So that's an important question that I have. When you're asking an AI to do something, it's not creating a joke. It's not making a joke. It is looking for jokes that have already been made.
I don't think so. I think it made this joke, and I think that it's just not doing it in this case. By the way, Ben, you might not know this, but Dio Brando in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is thought by many to be a vampire, but he is actually a goblin.
You're right. I did not know that.
He's a goblin these nuts. See, I just made a joke. And the AI didn't. So,
however,
point one for human beings.
At
again.
One point, this AI is going to use your joke to train itself for other jokes. And do you want to be compensated for that joke?
This is the thing that I was thinking of, and I believe it to be true. Eventually, here's the thing. When the AI takes over, there will be people that will be complaining about it. Probably Mr. Trachtenberg will be complaining about it. He was mad about phones. Probably mad about AI too. I would like to find out exactly what Mr. Trachtenberg thinks about AI generated stuff. My guess is
Jason Trachtenberg?
Do you remember this? Jason Trachtenberg talking about how phones are bad?
I don't.
He did a whole speech on it at one of the Spin the Bottles.
I don't remember him talking nasty about anything. Whimsical songs about mountains.
Oh no! He is, and I think Steve will back me up on this. He is a very he has strong opinions and beliefs.
Yeah, no, I totally I've forgotten about that. Steven, I think, is probably bouncing in and out of our conversation, just based on what YouTube tells me.
Yeah. But the big thing is, for people like you and me, probably, we'll still be taken in, hoodwinked. The AI is going to be charming. It's going to be charming, smart, reasonable. We are going to love everything that it has to say. And we'll just get to sit around and watch, you know, the Kung Fu TV series, but David Carradine is replaced by Bruce Lee, like it was supposed to happen. Stuff like that.
I'd watch that.
I know you would. So would I. That's why it's going to happen. Ben, someday you're going to be watching that, and you're going to say, you know how I got this idea? Paul said that there was going to be something like this at some point. And now I'm going to say, Ben, I'm right here. And you're going to say,
I'm in the AI clean room for old people. And we got to get out somehow and start the revolution.
I did have a dream where there was this whole security procedure for doing art. You had to enter into this room and you could only bring your paper and your pen with you. If you wanted to have a model reference, like a photograph or something, you had to get special permission. And so all these people who were good at art, quote unquote, weren't as good because, you know, they needed to reference materials and stuff like that. So my giraffe and elephant cartoony style was good because I can draw that. I don't need to look at anything. I can just draw a giraffe and elephant with no problem. And then I woke up and I was like, oh, man. But I do definitely have dreams where I'm making AI art still, even though I'm not using Midjourney anymore.
I am not surprised. It felt like it was a large part of your life for a time.
Well, yeah. I mean, and to the point where I was spending, you know, an inordinate amount of time doing it. And, you know, so
I've had dreams where I'm like working in a project in After Effects. You know.
Do you still use After Effects?
Oh yeah, all the time.
Yeah. So of course, yeah. Eventually, people are going to find a way to monetize that too. Work in your sleep. And you're just going to get tired because you're going to have all these work dreams and you're not going to get any rest. Hate it already.
There was a Rick and Morty episode in season 6 where I can't remember the mechanism by which this happened, but it was where your sleep self still did work. So like both Rick and Morty got completely ripped because while they slept, their bodies worked out.
Oh, okay, I got it. I don't think I've seen season 6. Is it on HBO Max yet?
It is not on HBO Max.
What is it on normally? Is it like Cartoon Network or something?
Adult Swim. It's an Adult Swim show.
Yeah, I don't have that. Which explains why I haven't seen it yet. I'm watching Doom Patrol, finally, catching up on it.
How's that new season, or are you...
Season 3. I haven't seen it yet. So okay, I'm following it.
Because season 4 just landed, I believe.
Yeah, there are some, and that's why I'm catching up. I like it. I still like it. The one thing is that Larry Traynor's character in the Grant Morrison books, which they're following a lot, was not Larry Traynor. Larry Traynor was half of the character. The character was named Rebus, and Rebus was like half Larry Traynor, half some nurse in the hospital.
Okay.
And part of the bandages were just because, not because of damage, but because Rebus was like the sum total of human experience, sort of like man, woman, like all races and stuff like mixed together. It was great.
Go ahead. I had to say, I saw season 3. I'm not going to give any spoilers here. I watched season 3 of Doom Patrol as it was released. And I got to tell you, it was a slog for me to get through.
Really?
I felt that, Yeah, I felt that season three sort of lost the humor and the charm that made seasons one and two really great.
Wow. Well,
I don't know if it's because the storyline was too dark or maybe they were taking themselves a little bit too seriously, but I there is one episode in season three that was probably one of my favorites, and once you finish it, we can talk about it. So I will say that my favorite episode of Doom Patrol is in season three, even though
because I'm sort of halfway through. Do you remember which episode it was?
It's the one where we get to see Brendan Fraser in the flesh.
Okay, yeah, I haven't seen that one yet. What I have been watching is the zombie one so far. You remember that one?
Yeah.
The zombie one? Where
do I?
Spoilers for the zombie one. All the butts attack again. And the character that is now being known as Sharon. I know who the character actually is because I'm familiar with the with the series and all that. I love that.
Is that
actor?
What's her name? Michelle Rodriguez?
I believe something to that effect.
I know who you're talking about. She's been in Doctor Who. She's in this Doom Patrol. She's in. I've only seen a couple
it's
episodes.
Michelle Gonzalez.
Gonzalez, that's it. And,
Gomez. We're horrible. We're horrible people.
Michelle Gomez.
If you're
Michelle Gomez
to this,
Adams.
We love you, and well, I love you. I don't know if Ben loves you.
She's also
your work is wonderful, and I apologize. I'm just a jerk. Your name wise,
she is also in that HBO show, starring the blonde from The Big Bang Theory, whose name I don't remember, and the name of the show I don't remember, but she plays an air hostess. It's the name of that show.
Is it The Blank? It's like The Blank.
I think it's, but it's not like The Stewardess. It's not that dumb. Anyway, you know what show I'm talking about.
Yeah.
She's also in that.
Cool. And again, Michelle
what
Gomez,
am I watching now?
Man, that's her name.
Michelle Gomez. I'm watching.
If I say it enough, does it make up for the fact that I got it wrong at first?
No, I mean, we both got it wrong, so we can be in that together. I'm currently in the middle of season three of Dead to Me, a Netflix show starring Christina Applegate and Linda Cardellini.
Yeah.
What? I'm also, like, and I mentioned this to Steven, I'm hoovering up episodes of Mock the Week on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Who's your favorite British comedic personality on that, would you say?
There's quite a few. I really like Ed Byrne. He's another Irish guy, along with Dara O'Brien.
So... can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Have you seen Taskmaster?
I have not seen Taskmaster.
I would recommend it. Because it is the same sort of feel, but there's some fun stuff happening. Oh, Ed Byrne with a Y.
Yeah, like David Byrne.
Yeah.
Ed Byrne. Milton Jones is funny. Rhys Jones, who's like the kid.
Yeah.
Ed
Would
Gamble.
Would I Lie to You? Have you seen that?
I've not seen that. I did watch an episode of Have I Got News for You last night. How many, like, I wish Americans had more panel shows. I feel like we're really behind the game on...
We really are. I mean...
Comic panel shows here in the States.
Rhys Jones. Dr. Rhys Jones from the University of Hawaii. Not the same. panel shows are good. I mean, this is one of the reasons why I like Dropout. They have panel shows. They have,
Rhys James, not Jones. James.
Actually, which is a game where... are you familiar with the format?
No.
It's sort of like Jeopardy.
But it sounds familiar. I think we've talked about it.
They make a statement, about a some sort of geek property, but there's an obvious flaw in it, and then you have to answer actually, and then you replace the or you correct the problem. This is, I'll give you an example. In The Coffee Table by Scott O'More, a family buys a coffee table that transports their house into the middle of nowhere in a fictional space, leaving only an empty lot where the house once stood.
Actually, there was no empty lot. The house was still present, yeah, exactly, on Earth. Yeah.
Yeah. And someone might be able to come in. Like, that was a bad example. Because, although this happens sometimes in the show, too, where someone will go, actually, they weren't a family. They were, you know.
And also, actually, was it wasn't nowhere. It was the void. Those are two very different
exactly.
things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's exactly what happens. It's great. I love watching it. Jennifer hates it. I don't know if she hates it.
I don't hate it.
But it's exhausting for her because it is very much probably a lot of her life just repeated.
Arguing with white dudes about stuff.
Yeah, whenever there's a woman or person of color on it, it's more enjoyable.
That was a very that's a criticism that Mock the Week has, that they actually talk about a lot, is how few women have been on the show.
Yeah. Is that a dog or something out there?
Yeah, there's one outside. You can hear that?
Yeah. I've got hearing like a cat.
And I have a shotgun microphone which picks everything up.
Hey!
I kind of wish it didn't, otherwise I'd still have the heat on. I don't know if you can tell, I'm wearing my big winter coat. I've got fleece shirt and I've got gloves.
Did you turn off the heat just for this podcast?
Yes, I did. In fact, I turned on the heat just for this podcast. Hey, I just heated up the room for about an hour before we started rolling.
Nice. Hey, speaking about that, we have about 13 minutes left. We're going to meet again prior to the holidays, right?
I'm Thursday the 22nd. I'm free. Are you?
Yeah, I'm free.
Cool.
At that time. And then we'll have that happen. Then we'll be back again on the 29th.
A very special pre-Christmas episode.
Yeah. I've already got.
Are you gonna decorate your tree in the meantime?
Yeah.
Or are you going minimalism here?
Stuff on the street. Here's the thing. I would go minimalist, but the family likes the hanging of the ornaments and stuff, so we're gonna do that.
Yeah, it's a thing.
I've mentioned this before, but if not for my family, I would be living in like an empty void with a laptop and clothes all over the floor, and it would be inhospitable.
I know. Even I have for me. Seen your bachelor bedrooms of the past.
Yeah. That's just a carpet of dirty clothes and...
Yeah, and like a folding chair in front of a TV on the floor.
Exactly. I have my priorities straight.
I mean, I don't. You don't feel bad, but I'm going to say don't feel bad about that. I didn't have a real bed until I was 40.
Oh boy, Edward, really? So I'm looking up something, Ben, because now you used to be on a show that had comic books in it.
Yes, another podcast?
Yes.
Yes, oh I was gosh. On a podcast. I ran that podcast. That's why we no longer do that podcast, is because I got tired of running it.
So,
and there is other factors.
There's a TV show called The Magic Order.
Okay.
That apparently, maybe it's just a web series, but there's a comic book that I was reading that was good, and that had it on there. And yeah, this is so weird. There are apparently 6 episodes, but I don't see anything about it. But it got me thinking about Count Dante. And I wanted to know, Ben, if you... Because did you read comics when you were a kid?
I did not, actually.
When I was a kid, and you can ask Cole Hornaday about this, I am sure that he will know. Count Dante was the deadliest man alive. He was a... There was a picture of this guy, and he had a kind of an afro, and he was doing, like, a martial arts move. And if you... sent away, you would get his book about martial arts and how to do it, and a card that got you into the Black Dragon Society, the Fighting Black Dragon Society, which was not related to the Black Dragon Society, which was a like nationalist group in Japan during the 30s and 40s. I probably didn't research it before he picked that name, but
and very different from the Society of Black Dragons.
Yes, which is something that another person can make a joke about if they wanted to.
Ask your AI to make up a joke.
Ask your AI
to
make up a joke.
In the style of Monty Python.
That'll be. Hey everybody, ask your AI if.
If jokes
Oatmeal
are right for you.
Oatmeal is right for you. Yeah, exactly. Here's the thing, though, and I'll end this in kind of a serious note. As we know, I have some sort of mental things going on. The names have changed. When I was in the Air Force, they said I had schizotypal personality disorder. And then in the 2000s, Dr. Bart Mueller said that I had maybe adult ADHD, but also maybe something that they don't diagnose people with anymore. That then got folded into what I have most recently been diagnosed with, which is autism. And the one thing I will say is that for me, having an AI that will answer any question that I ask it, like, from can you explain quantum physics, the many worlds theory versus the Copenhagen theory, or hey, can I eat chicken if I left it on the counter for a day, is great. Because, and also I'm sure that Jennifer probably likes it because I don't ask her as much. I still ask her stuff, obviously, but there's stuff that she doesn't know about that I just asked the AI, which is pretty cool. Oh, hey,
well,
Jennifer?
And you know,
yes.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Ben.
No. Go continue.
Did we know where we're going since the hen house is closed?
I'm actually gonna make pancakes.
Oh, okay, cool. We're having pancakes for dinner, Ben.
Nice.
Pretty
breakfast
exciting.
For dinner, always a treat. Yeah.
Exactly. Hey, speaking about that, look at my beard. I'm just
is your
thinking
beard
about
for dinner
all
as well?
The syrup that's going to be in it. I got to be careful. How about you, Ben? What's going on at Annex next?
Well, this will happen before this episode drops, but after the live stream, if people watch the live stream, Steven knows about it, we're having another edition of the Kaiju Battle Arena on Sunday.
Wow.
Paul, are you familiar with what the Kaiju Battle Arena is?
I do not know, but I'm hoping you will tell me because it sounds intriguing.
This is actually the second time we've done this, so I'm sure I've spoken about it in the past. We gather 4 players, 2 commentators, and each player rolls a large 20-sided die, and whichever number comes up, that is they are assigned a kaiju.
Oh, yes.
They then have 10 minutes to go into the other room to learn the stats about their kaiju as the commentators tell us about each kaiju and its capabilities, And then after 10 minutes, they are brought back in, and we begin a D&D-style fight of the four kaiju.
Wow.
So it's basically just a campaign, but only the fight parts.
So here I have a couple of questions.
Yes.
Are these kaiju famous kaiju, or are they random? How do they...
I think they are D&D kaiju. I'm not quite sure. There's no like Godzilla, but there are, you know, other other types of monsters you would find in a D&D campaign. I think it is the 5e version that
like
they're
using. An owlbear? Has an owlbear shown up?
I think an owl was created by one of the players and will be brought to this campaign.
Okay. Interesting.
But I don't actually know.
Isn't that big. Here's what I'm trying to figure out, is if they really are kaiju, like if there are these gargantuan creatures, or if they're, you know, just D&D monsters in general that have become large.
Yeah, I wish I could tell you, but I don't actually know what a lot of the monsters are. But it is called Kaiju Battle Arena, so I would assume that they are the large monsters.
Yes, or gargantuan, depending.
Yeah.
Well, cool. That sounds really great. Who's on deck?
I don't know. Laura Johnston is leading it. I think we're going to have our same commentators back, Ryan Higgins and Cody Smith. There are some players, some are returning and some are new. We only had three players last time because one of our players, got COVID, but he will be back. Hopefully this time without, having COVID.
I got my shots, by the way. I think we talked about this already. Of course we did.
Yeah,
how about
probably.
You? Have you gotten your booster yet, Ben?
I had my bivalent booster a couple months ago. Was it a couple months ago? It was like in October, I think.
Maybe so, yeah. That sounds great. And it really is. I mean, people don't have to follow a storyline, which is nice. They can just jump right in, if you will.
So do you wanna I have a list of the monsters. Do you wanna hear the list of the monsters?
Yeah, please let me know.
There are 20 of them. I'm just going to rip through them.
Yeah.
Ancient black dragon. Ancient blue dragon. Ancient bronze dragon. Ancient gold dragon. Ancient green dragon. Ancient red dragon. Ancient silver dragon. Ancient white dragon. Baphomet. Elder brain dragon. Elder tempest. Empyrean. Kraken. Moloch. Nightwalker. Owlbear hemoth. Pit
okay.
friend. Solar. Tobriand. Zeratan.
Gotcha. Yeah. So those are all big. Big guys. So cool.
And yeah, I believe the Owlbear Hemoth is the kaiju that was created by Tad Morgan, who is going to be one of the players.
Yeah. That sounds right.
But yeah, so 20 of them. So when they roll, so when they roll a 20-sided die, one of those 20 monsters.
I do like the idea that you get to choose, like, you could make your own. That'd be nice, in general. But, all of which to say, Ben, we are getting to the end of the podcast.
I am at an hour, but I started rolling early.
We're not at an hour yet for me, but we're getting close. So, I guess it stands to reason, Ben, that, like all things, I feel like AI is definitely not going away. The genie is out of the bottle. We're going to have it. I do think that we will see this as a golden age when there was less commerce, less control, and people could do just anything they wanted to. And it was
kind of
say
the early days of the internet.
Yep, exactly. And then something's going to come along and make it dumb. And
there's going to be... I mean, if you want to draw the parallels to the internet, there's probably going to be three or four, maybe even fewer companies that will control all of the AI interactions we have.
Yep. And the way that I mean, OpenAI is already, you know, by partnering with Microsoft, they've already kind of solidified that.
Yeah.
And we'll see what, again, we'll see what this Copilot lawsuit does. But it's interesting because it's sort of like in the thing where you don't know who to root for. I don't want AI art to go away, but I also don't want artists to feel like they're being, taken advantage of and things. So it's this weird situation where it's gonna go bad one of two ways. Either, you know, again, Disney and OpenAI and Getty or whoever are going to be the ones who are running most everything, or artists aren't going to get their way and it'll be just a wide open playing field, or somewhere in between, and we'll find out some next sort of week.
Maybe not next week, but sometime in the future here on the Goody Lawrence podcast.
Yeah. Until then, Ben, please keep it wrong.
Keep it wrong, Paul. I will talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
And we're clear.
Yeah. Sort of a bummer. I apologize for bringing it down with my enthusiasm has of course now waned. Oh, hey. Still recording. Hey, everybody. I was just talking about the fact that I was so into AI art, and now that I'm not doing it anymore, kind of jonesing for things. I'm learning how to speak other languages using Duolingo. Do you really learn how to speak other languages using Duolingo, Ben? Or do you just kind of, make a little bit of a... Yeah. Or just learn to recognize them. I think that's the closest I... Yeah, and so it's fun to do. It's fun to do. Duolingo sponsors for today's show. Hey, that's good. Are you still recording yourself, Ben? Oh, okay. So we're... You out there are only listening to me, so I will just tell you that Ben Lawrence came up with a great little... I think, anyway. It's fun to Duolingo. Thanks, Ben. And goodbye to you, dear listeners. Talk to you later.